A small frog with a big voice is making a comeback in New England. The rare eastern spadefoot is threatened by pesticides and habitat loss. The spadefoot is only about 2 inches long, with cat-like eyes and a memorable mating call. To me, it sounds like the cross between a crow and a duck, and boy, are they loud. To give the threatened species a leg up, student volunteers dug pools on protected land in Southwick, Massachusetts, and stocked them with eggs, tadpoles, and baby toads. Emily Stolarski is with Mass Wildlife.
We're excited that we're at least getting those initial results that individuals are surviving. And in this case, we're thrilled to see that they were breeding.
The project should help the frogs survive in the Connecticut River Valley, where they're especially at risk.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region.
Coming up, are politics at play in the investigation into Governor Cuomo? The clock is ticking to distribute rent relief in New York, and an idea that could make renewable energy safer.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is under investigation for sexual harassment charges. A committee from the Assembly is making inquiries into the case. Now, one committee member says he's concerned the Cuomo administration might be trying to intimidate potential witnesses. Karen DeWitt reports.
The dispute began when Charles Levine, the chair of the Assembly Judiciary Committee, issued a stern warning to the governor's communications director and senior aide Rich Azzopardi. Levine took issue with tweets that Azzopardi posted, disparaging a union leader who broke with Cuomo as an extortionist and questioning the political motivations of Attorney General Tish James. James is conducting an investigation into multiple allegations of sexual harassment against the governor, as well as accusations that the governor used staff to help him write and edit a memoir for which he was paid $5 million. Levine says he previously warned Cuomo and his aides against intimidating potential witnesses or trying to retaliate against them. And he says Azzopardi's attempts to demean the attorney general undermine the investigation and send profoundly negative signals to witnesses. Levine warned that Azzopardi's comments could have severe repercussions in terms of the Judiciary Committee's consideration of the question of impeachment of the governor. Assemblyman Phil Steck, a member of the Judiciary Committee, says he agrees. He says Azzopardi's statements are a major concern.
Rich Azzopardi has a reputation of being a bomb thrower, and he's following through on that reputation. And in this situation, it's just completely inappropriate.
Cuomo's private attorney issued a spirited response, saying Azzopardi's tweets are not an attempt to suppress witness testimony. Attorney Paul Fishman says it is Levine who is acting inappropriately by threatening to punish the governor's aides for speaking about important issues of public policy. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
New York has until the end of September to dole out over $2 billion in rent relief to tenants. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the federal government could take the money back. WSHU's Desiree DiIorio reports.
Schumer says it's urgent that state officials ramp up payments to help tenants in need. The moratorium on evictions will end August 31st, and the federal government could take back the rent relief funds if they're not dispersed by September 30th.
New York State has not gotten the money out. As of last week, we're the only state of the 50 that had not sent any money to the tenants. Now they've sent a little trickle, but that is not enough.
Schumer said at a news conference that job losses during the pandemic caused many renters and landlords to fall behind. New York received about $2.3 billion for rent relief this year from the federal rescue packages. The state has announced a new streamlined application process and added more staff to process over 150,000 applications for rent relief. Desiree DiIorio, WSHU News.
Coming up, an idea out of Long Island to expand storage for renewable energy in a safe way. But first, headlines and a message from After All Things supporter.
Mm-hmm. Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
A lawyer and solar farm developer with a home on Martha's Vineyard is suing the federal government over its approval of the first commercial-scale offshore wind project, Vineyard Wind. The project's construction headquarters are in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The lawsuit alleges the environmental review process for Vineyard Wind was flawed. It claims the turbines can't withstand hurricanes, and the project poses a threat to wildlife and sensitive ecosystems.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont has appointed the first five members of the Social Equity Council to regulate the state's marijuana industry. The goal of the council is to encourage communities that were targeted during the war on drugs to take part in the legalized industry. The council will award cannabis licenses and redistribute tax revenue to spur businesses in impacted communities.
The Connecticut Department of Transportation announced on Thursday the CT bus service will expand in New Haven. This comes after the DOT's completion of the service and fare equity analysis. The State Bureau Chief of Public Transportation says they took the input from public comments seriously and made adjustments based on what they heard. The service expansion in New Haven is scheduled to start August 22nd. More changes will happen later this year. The U.S. has a wave of hydro, solar, and wind energy projects in the works. To harness renewable energy, developers will need better battery storage. But the parts needed are expensive and hard to find. WSHU's J.D. Allen reports a study at Brookhaven National Lab on Long Island might have found a cheaper alternative that's also safer for the environment.
Esther Takeuchi at Brookhaven Lab is working with some of the most common materials on Earth.
The recent experiments we've been doing have focused on using water for our batteries.
To understand water-based batteries, she says it's important to know the basics of how batteries work.
What happens inside the battery is that there's some kind of a liquid that contains a salt.
The salt in most traditional batteries are lithium ions. The trouble is building enough lithium ion batteries for renewable energy storage can be expensive.
There's like one or two places on Earth where you can actually mine these elements. And one of the elements, cobalt, that's used in lithium ion, the biggest mines are all located in Congo, in Africa.
The salt Takeuchi uses is made of manganese and zinc instead of lithium.
If these batteries are really big, can we use elements, can we use materials that are not very dangerous, you know, that are earth abundant, that are readily available?
Another issue is the liquid in lithium ion batteries is flammable.
Let's say this thing started leaking. Well, so maybe it's water with some kind of a salt dissolved in it, but that's different than having something that's highly flammable, you know, coming out of batteries.
Her team is not the first to study this water-based battery, but they did figure out how to measure the chemical reaction so that it might be reusable.
Once we realize what it was, then it allows a whole new way to think about this battery. So if we want to further develop this battery, now at least we know what to try to control.
The results of this study could help expand storage for renewable energy, a feat fit for Takeuchi's background. President Obama awarded Takeuchi the National Medal of Technology in 2009 for developing the tiny battery that powers most of the world's life-saving pacemakers and personal defibrillators. Not a task too small to develop a much larger battery to harness the power of solar and wind energy.
And that was WSHU's J.D. Allen reporting.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org.
After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. WSHU depends on listeners to give us news tips and to share our stories. You can also help us by becoming a member.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you.